Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
And now he says here, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, some of us have been saved a while, and we're accustomed to hearing this verse of Scripture. And so we pray to the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. We walk away and assume that's being done. But you know, the scary thing is, I say the scary thing, the thing that is that should be of great concern to you and should be of great concern to me is that we might be living a lot of our Christian life and not filled with the Spirit of God. We know when we're saved, he's in us. And he doesn't leave us. The Bible says he's the earnest of our expectation. We know that he has sealed us until the day of redemption. And so the Holy Spirit comes in. He's not going to leave. Appreciate that. But, you know, if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, it's not just that he's in there, but if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, then we're not doing what the Lord told us to do. He said, be filled with the Spirit. And that's something we're supposed to do. So the question is, tonight, that we ought to all be asking ourselves, this is simply this, am I filled with the Spirit of God? Like tonight, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, most of you, probably all of you. All right, you ask yourself the question, am I saved? That's not a hard question to answer. If I ask you, are you saved? And you're saved, you know it. You've got the testimony of the Spirit of God in you, bearing witness with your spirit that you're the child of God. You have the testimony of the Scripture that says when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he's there. And he says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, which we have, or love of God, which we have in Christ Jesus, and that you've passed from death unto life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And all the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. You say, yeah, I'm saved, and I know it from the Scripture. All right, well, if you can answer that question, truly answering this other question is really just as simple. You simply go to the Bible and see what the Bible says, and if those things are happening in your life, then you can say, yes, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. If those things aren't happening, then there's a hiccup. He's there, but he may not be filling the entire vessel. And, you know, truly, isn't your objective, isn't your desire to be totally filled with the Spirit of God? It's my desire. And there are times when other things infiltrate. You can't be filled with the Spirit of God when something else is filling you. For one thing, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God if you're not saved, okay? And you can't be filled with the Spirit of God if you're not obedient and things like that. So tonight, we ought to be asking ourselves the question, if we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, are we indeed filled with the Spirit? Now, we're going to go to the Scripture, and we're going to see what the Spirit does through people who are filled, and if he's doing those things in us, then you can say to the according to Scripture, yes, he's filling me because those things are not something that I can do by myself. The Spirit of God has to be doing those things. And therefore, yes, I am. And if not, we don't need to go home and beat ourselves up. You know what we need to do? We need to repent of that and just simply say, okay, Lord, I recognize this area has not been given over to you. I want you to fill that area of my life and let him do it. And that's a wonderful thing. So we're going to look at it in that sense of a test, not of the Spirit, but of our own filling of the Spirit of God. And these may be random. Some of these may hit you square and others may not pertain at all. You may find one more important than the other in your own life. But we'll look at seven different things. First of all, notice verse 19, since we're here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and for the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice those things in the context of Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Now in Acts chapter 4, the disciples have been forbidden to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've taken a beating for it. And they've come back and they are reporting to the church, to the people that are there that are now part of the church, what's happened to them. They are magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ and they are praying. And after they pray in verse 30, look what happens in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. All right, so one of the first evidences that we'll look at tonight is that when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have a bold testimony. You remember back there in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The next thing, speaking and giving thanks. And they're making melody in their hearts. There's a bold testimony of the work of God in your life when you are filled with the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you run around and shake every person that you see, bring them to the ground and say, bless God, I'm saved. You don't get saved, you go to hell. That may be the way the Spirit fills some. But what he does is that you know what? The Spirit of God will have the liberty in you to testify of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in you when the opportunity presents itself. Now, I've done something many times in my life that I'm not happy about, but I know there are times when the Spirit of God gave me that gentle nudge and said, I want you to say something to that person. And I was like, you know what? They're too busy right now. And I did not attribute that little nudge to the Spirit of God. I thought to myself, any Christian would think that, but now is just not a good time, I can tell, for that person for me to be talking to him, so I need to go over here and go get this chocolate shake instead, or whatever the case may be. You know, any excuse not to say it. You know what? That's not a bold testimony. That's not a bold testimony because it doesn't take long sometimes to engage somebody in a brief conversation regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? If the Lord wanted you to speak to somebody and you had a schedule full of things to do that day and you stopped long enough to take care of the Lord's business for that piece of time that he wanted to, the Lord would make it up to you. You would redeem the time and you would find the rest of the things on your schedule would get done. That bold testimony is a testimony of the Spirit of God. Romans 8 says that he's in us bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's an unashamed presentation of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Haven't you been in places before where you would have said something about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're a little bit ashamed to say it in that company? Not that you were ashamed of him, but that you knew they weren't really going to be as friendly towards you about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as, say, your church family would be. Maybe like a family reunion. Okay? And you know what happens in those situations is the Spirit of God is there wanting to make a bold witness. And it may be that you're in a really, really hostile environment, but it may very well be that what's happened is he wants to say something, but you don't want to say it at that time because it's just a little bit tougher. Look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, won't belabor the point. We talked a lot about this in the soul winning classes recently. John chapter 15, look at verse 26. John chapter 15, look at verse 26. The Bible says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. So it is certainly the desire of the Spirit of God in you to bear witness of Jesus Christ. He needs a mouthpiece. Okay? So if you have found that boldness is gone in your life, and it may very well be tonight, if you have found that there's not a bold testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Spirit of God nudged you a few times and you kind of hushed it, and that voice is even speaking with you now about telling and testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, may very well be, that you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Is it not difficult for you to say, I'm part of the Sunday night crowd, preacher? Is it difficult for you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, but you know what, right now, in that area of my life, I'm backslidden. Don't let anybody know. You know, we have to be honest with God. You know, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, we lie to ourselves a lot of time about the state of our Christian life. There's no reason to do that tonight. We are among the fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. You know what? If the work of the Spirit of God is cut off in our lives a little bit in that area, it's okay to be honest in front of this group of people and say, you know what? I don't have the boldness that I had before. I really have quieted the work of the Spirit of God in my life in that area. It's okay to admit that. The folks in here love you, and the folks in here pray for you. And the best time in the world to ever get that stuff straightened out is on a Sunday night under the preaching of the Word of God. That's a good time to do it. Let's look at something else. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Am I filled with the Spirit of God? Well, if I do, I have a bold testimony. I may not present it in the same zealous fashion as another person, but I know what's bold in my life. You know what's bold in your life. You know when that's been quieted. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the Bible says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation," what? "Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So another thing that the Holy Spirit does is He sanctifies you. So what evidence of the work of the Spirit of God in your life will be a sanctified life. You say, what is that? Well, very simply, a life that's set apart from worldly things and a life that is set apart for godly things. That's pretty simple. And the Bible says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless when the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a holiness that sets in when the work of God starts in you that allows you to, what it does, like one of the songs we sang tonight, you become a lot more concerned with heavenly matters and a lot less concerned with earthly matters. Now, you cannot, and neither can I, neglect our responsibility in our earthly matters. If you hear me preach, and it sounds like I talk about this to the extent that you don't have to worry about maintaining your vehicle and maintaining your home and keeping up with your bills and stuff like that, listen, you've got to be earthly minded enough to be very responsible in those areas. Okay, not talking about that. But you don't have to be so earthly minded that you know the batting average of everybody on your favorite baseball team. That's not nearly as important as knowing the names of all the books of the Bible and the apostles. Okay? All right? And truly, there are a lot of Christians. It's interesting. Go to church and they hear all these things, walk into the foyer, and they're not even back to the car before all those worldly things they came in with are the topic of their conversation on the way out the door. More so than something that God did in the preaching in your life. That happens. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't fill this vessel and really set us apart from those worldly things if those worldly things are so consuming our minds or so consuming our hearts that the Spirit of God doesn't fill that with thoughts of Jesus Christ and remembrances of things in the Bible and scriptural things and things that we enjoy. You know, we're not old fuddy-duddies either. You live here, you function here, and there are things that you do here that you enjoy. When those things crowd out the work of the Spirit of God, you enjoy them too much. When they work in cooperation with the work of the Spirit of God in your life, the Spirit of God can fill you. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? It's a sanctified life, one that's set apart from the world. The world has encroached upon us a great deal. We have a lot of technology. We have a lot of communication. We have a lot of video-related stuff. We have a lot of interference out there. And we just have to be real careful that we can't let that stuff interfere. You know, it's interesting. We were with some friends one time, it's been several months ago, and they had a book on the coffee table, How to Unclutter Your Life. And it's a little narrow book about that wide, about that tall, about that thick. And I picked it up, read it, and had some things in there. And I said, you know what, I'm kind of interested in that. I think I'll look at that one of these days. And one of these days, I finally looked at it. You know, one of the things that was said in that book, how much gadgetry do you really need? Now, this wasn't a Christian. This isn't how to unclutter your life as a Christian. This is just the general stuff. How much gadgetry do you really need? At what point is the cell phone, computer, iPad, iTouch, eKindle, microwave no longer a benefit, but now it's kind of like, man, everywhere I turn around, I've got another one of these things in my face. Now, I thought to myself, if a person who's looking at this purely from a worldly standpoint can ask that question and recognizes that a lot of the modern conveniences actually interfere and clutter your life, then Christians could really ask that, how much of this stuff is cluttering my life? You know, one of the suggestions that the person had that wrote this, not a Christian, from anything I can tell. Not a word in there about God or Jesus Christ. No quotes from the Scripture. You know what they said? You ought to unplug your television and stick it in the closet for a week and see how much your life was really tied to that thing. That's an interesting, this is just a worldly person. Well, if that's true, what we need to do is look at our lives and say, how much of the stress in my life results from the clutter that's in my life? How much of this has to do with the fact that I am so rooted into this world, the Holy Spirit just doesn't have the liberty to draw me away for an hour one day and sit down and just praise God and read the Bible and pray because I got all this stuff running around in my life? Good question. Good question. So another test is a sanctified life. Is your life more dedicated to Christ than it was a year ago? Is your life more about heavenly things than it was a year ago? Is your budget about heavenly things? That's a good question to ask, because if it is, if the Spirit of God has the liberty to work in that vessel, He is going to condition you more into the image of Jesus Christ and less in the image of the world, because He knows the fashion of this world passeth away. All right, let's look at another one. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. If the Spirit of God is filling you, you'll have a bold testimony. If He's filling you, you'll have a sanctified life. John chapter 16, verse 13. Now, there's a lot in John about this particular topic, but listen here. John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, that's the second time we've read a verse of Scripture that calls Him the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You're in John, look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and look at verse 26. Here the Spirit of truth is called the Comforter again. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. You know who your teacher is tonight? It's the Spirit of God, if I'm doing my job right. And when you go home tonight, you can digest this message. He'll continue to teach you in these matters. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, what He said unto you is recorded for you right here. The stuff He wanted you to know, recorded for you right here in the Scripture. So the third thing you'll have, not necessarily in order, when you're filled with the Spirit, is a love for the truth. You'll have a love for the truth. What will happen to you is, you know, I like grapes. How many of y'all like grapes? I like cherries. I like cherries. I like to get them until I suck everything off the seed and then spit the seed out and go get me another one. I love mangoes. And, man, they have been really good this year. Grapefruit in the fall. Just love it. And so when it's available and Ann goes to the store, she brings that home, and I love to eat that stuff. I have an appetite for it. Right? You know why that is? Because my body responds well to those things. And I'm not going to go through my whole diet. Some of you guys hadn't had supper yet, so you're going to get real frustrated if I don't change the subject. You know what this is? You know what this Bible is right here? That's your spiritual food right there. When the Spirit of God fills you, there is an appetite for these words. And when that appetite for these words is missing, the Spirit of God's not filling that vessel. Something else that is desirable to you, a book, a movie, whatever it is, a conversation, a thing you do, that keeps interfering with this, that's because those things are filling you, not, doesn't necessarily mean you're filled with the devil. It just means those things are filling you and not the Spirit of God. Because he's going to guide you this way. That Bible says the Holy Spirit becomes a guide to you, and He guides you right into the truth. And I know where the truth is. It's in the pages of this book. And He's going to guide you in there. You get to where you have a spiritual appetite for the truth, and you want the truth. As a matter of fact, you want it so much, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you may be in a place where the truth isn't preached, but you like the people, and you know of a place where the truth is preached, but you don't know the people, and you'll go where the truth is preached because that's what you want. And I'll talk to people on visitation all the time. They say, oh, I know our preacher's no good anymore, and the thing's gone from the truth, and they're all modernized and hardly even preach out of the Bible, but we've just been there so long, and we love the people. That's not the Spirit of God. He's a guide. He's a leader. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, and He will direct you right where He wants you to go to get the truth. And you know what you're going to do? You're not sad. Listen, this book will never be mastered by anybody in this room. This Bible has free course, and this Bible is without any limitations whatsoever. It is eternal, it is everlasting, and it is way bigger than you and me. And you know, so you don't ever get to a place where you've learned all of its doctrine and milked out all of its spiritual truth. The Spirit of God is in you. You'll get in there and you go, you know what? I want to keep digging. I wonder if there's something else I can learn. When the Spirit of God, it fills you, you'll keep seeking the truth, and you will understand. You will seek it long enough until you understand what you're reading. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This isn't the only place you can find what I'm going to show you, but it definitely shows you the connection. I'll have people tell me, and you've heard people say the same thing to you, say, well, I'd read that Bible, but I really don't get anything out of it. I don't understand it. You ever heard anybody say that? You know, that's a testimony. When a person tells you they're reading the Bible, they don't get anything out of it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where you're heading. You know, they're giving you a testimony. The testimony could be that they're still deeply in sin. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Or it could be that they're not saved. And if you're not saved, the Spirit of God is going to be very limited in what He can show you. Or it could be that they're saved, but they're not filled with the Spirit of God. Or looking to the Spirit of God to teach them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them, talking about things that no eye has seen or ear has heard in the verse 9. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And you keep on reading down there, and he says here in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you want profitable Bible reading? Get filled with the Spirit of God, and He'll take you in and show you all kind of things. That's right. We have a generation of people that are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We really do. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says He gave you pastors and teachers and evangelists working there in the Spirit of God to keep that from happening in your life. But you know what happens? Some people get cocky about what they've learned. Like a Calvinist, he says, whoa, you know what I see in here? You know what I see in here? I see in here unconditional election. That God has already determined from the foundation of the world who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. So, wow. And now they go to seek about proving that doctrine for the rest of their lives. They are stuck like their foot is nailed to the ground. They just go around in circles. You know what? They're backslidden. The Spirit of God no longer is guiding them in the truth. They got stuck somewhere, and they're not filled with the Spirit of God. They may be saved, probably are, and have the Spirit of God in them, praise the Lord, but they're stuck. Person reads in here, and he goes, well, bless God, I got to speak in tongues, and once I do that, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. That guy didn't even understand the Spirit of God. He's trying to tell you what the Spirit of God said. He's stuck. Or some other strange doctrines that we've heard later, and people cut up the Bible and say, oh boy, Paul is it, and there's nothing else. Boom, stuck. You know what that is? Backslidden. That's all it is. Just look at yourself in the mirror when you get stuck like that and go, you are backslidden. And the Bible says, get filled with the Spirit of God. And when you do, you start loving the truth and learning some more Bible. We're in a generation of people, and the Bible says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. May I tell you something? Solomon told us about these books that's a weariness to go in there and study like that. That's a labor that was an exercise that was given to man, and it's vanity. The last thing in the world I want to do is be learning a bunch of stuff and find up there and get to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? You didn't learn nothing. Ever learned and never came to knowledge of the truth. I'd rather learn a little and have that much knowledge of the truth than learn a whole bunch and not have the knowledge of the truth. Anyway, you're having trouble with your appetite for this word, or you're having trouble with understanding what you're reading, or you're having trouble getting fed out of this. May very well be that the problem is you're not filled with the Spirit of God. So, what do I need to do about that? Same thing I did when I knelt down here to pray this afternoon. I said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. What He'll do is He'll start taking over and He'll show you a few things. I know in my own life what it's been involving. On these things we're talking about right here, get rid of that. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. Because the Spirit can't fill where there's stuff cluttering the place. All right, let's look at another one. Look at another one. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to live. You shall live. All right, so here's the next thing. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to notice a spiritual strength in your life. You're going to notice a spiritual strength. You're going to have a bold testimony, sanctified life, love of the truth, and spiritual strength. Every one of us in this room battles with sin. Everyone in this room battles with sin. And you may have more of a battle on your hands now than before you got saved. And that's because now you got some competition. And whereas before you were just giving in and only being led by whatever morals or immorality you had. And all of a sudden you get saved, the Spirit of God's in there, and he goes, you know what, we don't do that. As a Christian, as a child of God, you don't do that kind of stuff. And that stuff begins to put up a fight in your flesh. You know something? At some point in time, you have got to have a victory. If you keep battling the same thing and you're never having a victory at all in your life in this battle with the flesh, it's probably an indication that you're not filled with the Spirit of God. He's in there, but he doesn't have enough liberty and control in your life to mortify that area in your body. Amen. It's okay. It's all right. You really are with friends tonight who understand. Listen, God did not intend for us to live a life where we go up and down, live on a good plane for a while, and then crash and burn in the same old sin that just beats you all around. Listen, are there not sins in your life that used to have a hold of you before you got saved that don't have any hold of you now? Amen. Amen. Well, likewise, you can see the Spirit knocking off others. I know that we're not going to be sinless. Okay? But you're going to have periods in your life when the Spirit fills you where you're going to have some distance between sins, and the nature of those sins is going to change. And that's because the Spirit fills you enough to have enough control over your body to get that stuff out of there, or at least give you victory over it for a period of time. Now, I understand one preacher said the reason that dogs have fleas, you know, some dogs have such privileges in the house, they get along better with the family than the husband does. God gives them fleas to remind them that they are the dog. And he said about that, he said, and God leaves sin in your life to remind you that you still are a sinner and you're not perfect yet. I understand that. But that's not an excuse for us to say, well, I'm not going to be perfect yet, so I'm going to keep on doing this same old sin, when the Holy Spirit's been giving you a time about getting rid of that thing. Amen? And that's the way we play that game with the Spirit of God. Let me just read something to you. Ephesians 3:16 says, listen, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You ought to be getting stronger there. Listen, if you were paying a lot of money to go to a trainer to train you to get stronger, let's say your objective was, I want to bulk up, I want to be able to do whatever, and you had the physical capacity to do that. Let's say you said, I want to be able to bench press 300 pounds, and you had the physical capacity to do that, and you went in there and you could only bench press 150, and after paying this guy $50 a session for a year, you're still bench pressing 150. You're going to keep going and pay that guy when your objective was to get stronger? Of course not. Well, likewise, in the Spirit of God, he didn't intend for you to stay there. He wanted you to get stronger so you would be able to put up in your inner man more of a fight. And if it's a losing battle for you all the time, might very well be. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay, something else. Romans chapter 8, if you stayed there. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Ever been there? Daily. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's no tongues prayer language. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we know from 1 John, if you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ according to his will, he's going to do it. Well, the Spirit knows what his will is. And the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit that's making intercession for us according to the will of God. Boy, that is a tremendous passage of Scripture. You know what happens to you when you get filled with the Spirit? There's an effectual fervency in your prayer. You get an effectual, fervent prayer. Haven't you noticed in your life, man, I noticed it in mine, and it's frustrating that sometimes, boy, it's like your prayer life is just, it's like you wake up and the first step out of your bed, you are in the presence of God. And other times, you get out of bed and you're fussing and fighting with prayer all day long, and it's like you hadn't even gotten within a million miles of the throne of grace by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What is that? I believe what that is, if you could go back and search your thoughts, search your heart, search your the things that you were involved in leading up to that distance that seemed to set in between you and the throne of grace, you're going to find some other things filled that space, and it wasn't the Spirit of God. And you'll find when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's when you're stepping off the bed and pretty much hitting your knees. You're so close to God. You ever been there? You get an effectual, fervent prayer when you are filled with the Spirit of God. You say, well, I hadn't had any effectual fervent prayer going on in my life in a long time. That may very well be the truth. And you may be frustrated about that. Might very well be that the problem is not filled with the Spirit of God. Say, well, what do I need to do about that? You need to get filled with the Spirit of God. You need to get the stuff out of your life that's keeping him from filling it, and get the stuff in your life that gets him to fill it. You're making a real good start being here on Sunday night. I think really when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, it's not hard for him to make the other services besides Sunday morning. You ever notice that? Now, that doesn't mean, I'm off the hook, I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm here tonight. That's not in the list. You know you're filled with the Spirit of God when you come to Sunday night service. That's not in the list. Boy, you know, with the building to build out there, you know you're filled with the Spirit of God when you give $500,000 to the church. I'm not going there with you either. That's nonsense. People do that, but we're not doing that here, okay? You have a bold testimony, a sanctified life, love of the truth, spiritual strength, effectual fervent prayer. Man, I find those times in my own life where some other things really interfere with that. That's troublesome. Do you realize that our missionaries, our families, our church need us to be effectual and fervent in our prayers all the time? Boy, we really cannot afford to be wasting a week here and a week there and a few days here and a few days there, missing out on this great privilege that we have praying. Boy, if nothing else, we need to get filled with the Spirit of God so we can get in there and be praying. $5 in prayer will do a lot more for a missionary than $1,000 in no prayer. I've seen that. All right, Galatians chapter 5. You said, I wonder when you're going to get there. Galatians chapter 5. You know you're filled with the Spirit when? It's just a test. You know you're saved when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he's taking you from condemnation and put you into light, giving you assurance of your salvation and so forth. You know you're filled with the Spirit. Look at this thing here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Dad's riding to church in the morning, and he and Mom are having a knockdown drag out, and he's cussing at all the cars that are, you know, driving 75, and he wants to go 80, and, you know, and a bunch of that stuff. Probably not the Spirit of God doing all that. Amen. Had never been when it happened to me. the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, that's fruit. You ever grown fruit? Takes a little time. and it matures, and then it's finally ripe. That kind of thing, you get saved, you're going to see a little of this stuff start showing up in your life, but this is a lifelong deal. You ought to be walking more in love, seeing more peace in your life, more joy in your life, more gentleness, more meekness, more those kind of things ought to be growing characteristics. Why? Because the Spirit of God ought to be having more control of the vessel, where these things become more a permanent part of the nature. I love the testimonies of people who got saved. They worked with a group of people or were associated with a group of people, like in high school or college or something like that. Got saved when they got away. Came back and got with them 3 or 4 years later. And the people are like, wow, what happened to you? You have really changed. And you know what that is? That was what they've noticed a fruit of the Spirit of God coming up in their life that wasn't there before. It couldn't have been there because the Spirit wasn't there. So you don't want this to ever stop. You want those things to continue to grow in your life. Spiritual fruit is a testimony to the filling of the Spirit of God. And then finally, one more, Romans chapter 5. Goes along a little bit with what you saw in Galatians chapter 5. Well, I bet you're thankful I didn't sit here and run down and give you a litany on every single one of those things. You know, personal testimonies can be kind of bad. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 3, 4, and 5. But 5 is what we want. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Divine love is another evidence of the Spirit of God working in your life. Divine love. People get married today and they say, well, I like so-and-so and he's not saved, but I'm going to go ahead and try to marry him anyway. Or I like so-and-so, she's not saved, I'm going to go ahead and marry him anyway. I'm going to tell you, listen. A bunch of us have been married here for a while now. We've got some decades of marriage in our lives, some of us, okay? Listen to me very carefully. Love is something that ought to grow in a marriage. When person in the marriage is not saved, all they can ever offer you is human love. And human love is good, but it is not anything like divine love. And when you get married, you've been married for a long time, you know what it is? That whatever brought you together is not necessarily what's keeping you together. What's keeping you together is something that you didn't really recognize as part of the relationship when you first got married, but it's the thing that's going to save you on 10 to 50 years of marriage if you live that long. And what that is true love. And that true love is something that Jesus Christ puts in there, and it takes you further than you can go with human love, and pays huge dividends to both partners when it's exchanged. You marry somebody that's not saved, you might have the physical attraction, you might satisfy your lust, you might have a lot of money, you might be able to live in a big house and drive a fast car, but all that stuff, Solomon says, is vanity, is going to play out in time. That divine love better be there, or you are not going to be happy down the road. I know that for a fact. There's some young married couples that are Christians that haven't stayed together. They've gotten separated or gotten divorced. What is that all about? I'm going to tell you what that's about. You weren't filled with the Spirit of God. You get filled with the Spirit of God, and you get a taste of that divine love, you'll put everything else aside to get a little more of that, because it's that good. And listen, you'll give it because it's in you, and you'll receive it because it's in your spouse. And you don't sense divine love in your relationships, not only at home, with your children, with your spouse, with friends, brotherly love that's in the fellowship of your believers, might very well be that the problem is not with them. Those people over there aren't very loving. You ever heard people? I've heard people say that to me. I'd go to that church, but people there aren't, they're just not very loving. That sounded sweet. Might very well be that the divine love was not shed abroad in your own heart, and the thing that was repelling the relationships actually was coming out of you and not out of them. You know what? The Spirit of God wasn't filling you. Now, this is just a simple little thing. You say, well, what should I do? Go home and think about it tonight? Well, you could, but you'll probably forget it in the morning. That's the sad thing. If you came here tonight looking for something that God would give you out of the Scripture, I haven't got up here and boldly proclaimed that thing, tried to use methods of preacher's coercion to bring you under conviction of a man by intimidation. Just gave you something that the Spirit of God showed us in the Scripture. But if he's doing his work, there is gentleness. He can make you great. He might wherever be. He's shown you an area in your life. He said, you know something, pal? He's talking about you when he's talking about right that. And I'd like to fill that area of your life. You know what you ought to do? You ought to let him fill it. You ought to give in. You know, well, a lot of times I'll say, make an altar out of your seat there. And the reason I do that is that I've noticed with some preachers, coming to the altar becomes a show of the he can go home and say, boy, I really preached, and man, that altar was full tonight. Oh, boy, they must have really got something from God. They might have been intimidated into coming down there because they knew you weren't going to let them go till they did. Not interested in that. But I've made a few trips to the altar before. You know what I found out about it? It's inconvenient. It means to myself, not everybody else is involved in their own wickedness. Is I had to give up. Give up and give in and just say, you know what, Lord? Bingo. I wondered what the problem is. I saw it in the scripture tonight. Your spirit has made that thing. I just want to come and let you know you got me. And I want to settle this and get it straight. Tonight, I just kind of want to remember I've done something about this. When I get home tonight, I need to start working on that. I want you to have that area of my life and fill it, because I'm tired of having control of it myself. It's not working. But that's the case. If it's a bold testimony or a sanctified life or love of the truth, just that old Bible just doesn't mean to you what it used to mean, or a spiritual strength and just getting beat up by sin, or eternal effectual fervent prayer, that old prayer life is just gone, man, or spiritual fruit is just non-existent, just the Spirit of God is just not giving you that peace that you need, or that divine love is not there, and you don't have any to give. Well, the Spirit of God is talking to you tonight. He says, you know what? I can give you all of those things. That's my nature. That's why I want to fill you. Let me have control. I told some people we were talking to one day, asking me about getting saved, and then what happens after that. I said, you know what? You're like a young colt. And the Lord wants the reins, and he wants to jump in the saddle, and he knows he's going to have to break you, and he knows you're going to try to pitch him and throw him. But you know what? Over time, if you let him train you, he'll get control of you, and he'll have that thing where what he does when he rides you is going to be mature and fruitful and good, and you're going to like it. But it's going to be a fight there for a while. Well, you may be having one of those fights on your hand right now. If that's the case, look, it's just between you and the Lord. Come here, do it in your seat, go out the back, stand on your head in the parking lot, whatever it takes. Go somewhere, get with God, and give up this area of life and let the Spirit of God have it. I promise you, according to the Scripture, he can do a lot of better job with it than you can do in your own life. Would you rather, one more question and then we'll close, would you rather fake spirituality so everybody else thinks you're doing okay, or would you just rather get down and dirty with God and get it straightened out and let it be real from now on? I'd rather it be real. I don't have any reason to try to impress you. You don't have any reason to try to impress me or anybody else in here. God knows when he has control of your life, and he knows when he doesn't. If he's not filling it, you need to let him fill it, because he said, be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us with your Spirit. I don't know what you want to do with this message, but you do whatever you want to do. And we will be responsive to your leadership. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.